أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Continuing with our look at Quran City, and we're focusing on Qasam place. Today we will look at Surah number 91, which is Surah al-Shams, the sun. So let's start with the first section, which are really seven oaths, and there are six phenomena that revolves around the sun, paving the way for the existence of the human being, which is the seventh oath. So the surah starts with, وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا. I swear by the sun and its brilliance or its brightness. The word duha may mean the whole day, but some of us Syrian refer to it as the soothing morning light. That's what duha means. The sun always symbolizes the truth, the primal source of energy, yet it presents itself in a soothing manner. The next ayah is وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا, by the moon when it follows it, in other words, when it follows the sun. The moon reflects the sun's light that strikes it and illuminates that part of the earth which is hidden from the sun. In the world of meaning, if we look at it spiritually, this rule is valid because some people indirectly reflect the light of God's guidance. If Allah is taken to be the illuminating light of the worlds, then prophets and messengers and the leaders after them and the guides are like moons that reflect His light and illuminate the darkness that is often cast by unjust leadership. And then he says, وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا, by the day when it reveals it, that means it reveals the sun's brilliance. The sun needs the mirror of the daytime to show its brilliance. Allah has enabled human beings to acquire certain attributes, but they only become apparent when they are actualized. For example, nobility or integrity become realities only when one performs noble and selfless acts, like defending someone, lifting them up, or not betraying someone's trust. And then, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا, by the night when it covers it with a veil. The discourse shifts from manifesting and revealing to concealing and covering. Human beings can cover or reveal the truth and reality with their actions. The Quran uses the metaphor of night to denote that just as it covers the sunlight, some people deny the divine truths and intentionally cover it. So by extension, those who believe resemble the daytime which manifests the truth in its full beauty. And then, وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَاهَا. And I swear by the sky, the heavens, and what constructed it, or rather He who constructed it. And that's followed by وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا تَحَاهَا, and the earth and He who expanded it. So we're being asked, do you not see by the clear day, by the night which covers the day, and by the structure of the heavens as they hold themselves in balance, and by the earth and its expanse and function, do you not witness all these diversities? Our attention is drawn to the perfection of these systems so as to make us contemplate the Creator of perfection. And now with this, the first six verses, it sets the stage for the seventh verse, which starts with an oath again. وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا, by the soul and what, or rather He who fashioned and perfected it. So those previous six phenomena collectively paved the way for life. One of divinity's most significant signs to come into being, the human being. There is a subtle grammatical difference between the previous six ayat and this one. The former six all begin with al because they're sworn to specific phenomena. Al is the. However, this one is sworn in the name of a soul or a life, an indefinite. Perhaps it's because the human creation progressed through many forms and stages until it evolved into a perfectly proportioned human being. So now we go to the next section, where this is ayah 8 to 10, where the human being is programmed to discern between wretchedness or evil and good. And we see the success and failure of the soul. Success is through purification, in other words, nurturing the divine seed. And failure is through its corruption when we weigh it down with attachments. But let's just look at each of the ayat. So we start off with ayah 8, which is the crux of this surah. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Then He inspired it to understand what is wicked, what is evil for it, and to have a fearful awareness, a consciousness of what is right for it. All of the realities within the nafs are inspired by Allah. They have been there since before birth. They didn't come into the nafs later. Ilham is a gut feeling, something one's absolutely sure about, and it's a gift from God. Fujur comes from fajr, to rip or to tear open. Taqwaha comes from wikaya, which is protection, to protect oneself from evil or bad and punishment. So in a nutshell, after human beings have attained the form of perfection, Allah inspired them with the ability to discern between good and evil, as well as between God consciousness and wretchedness, so they could choose which path to follow. Now what follows is the outcome of the response to this oath. Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Truly, the one who purifies it will be successful. The word qad is used for emphasis and certainty. Falah means to flourish and split open. To be optimistic about the future, farmers are called a falah because they open and then plough the ground so that seeds can be planted therein. And then in contrast, وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Whosoever corrupts it is ruined, has failed. Khaba means to be disappointed or hopeless and pessimistic, to fade, to decline. Dassa means to scheme or plot or to bury and conceal. So in reality, the second group of people resort to deceitful acts, so their soul will metaphorically decay and eventually die. So now we see how the next section shifts away from the theoretical and rational and towards a tangible historical anecdote. The story of the tribe of Thamud, whose people failed to liberate their souls. Allah says, كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ بِتَغْوَاهَا. Thamud rejected due to their arrogance and rebelliousness. They rejected their prophet Saleh. Allah continues to say, إِذِمْ بَعَثَ أَشْقَاهَا. When the most wretched one amongst them rose up. فَقَالَ لَهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ نَاكَتَ اللَّهِ وَسُقِيَاهَا. So Allah's messenger said to them, it is Allah's she-camel, let her drink. See, Prophet Saleh was sent by Allah to try to harness them with the message, and he beseeched them not to afflict the female camel, which was after all a sign of Allah. He told them to treat her fairly by sharing water with it. Allah causes Prophet Saleh to arise from them as an admonisher in order to test their resolve and determine if they were God-conscious. But فَقَذَّبُوهُ, but they rejected him. فَأَقَرُوهَا, and they hamstrung the she-camel. فَدَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِذَنْبِهِمْ فَسَوَّاهَا. So their Rabb, their Lord, destroyed them for their sins and wiped them out. The people of Thamud denied what their prophet told them, and this message was a test for them. Damdama is to pound or crush something until it becomes part of the ground. Whatever catastrophe or form of destruction that took place, they were completely obliterated. And finally he says, وَلَا يَخَافُ أُقْبَاهَا, with no fear of its consequences. No one is in a position to question the judgment of Allah. He punished the people of Thamud for their sins by destroying them. This historical anecdote warns us that when a community's members fail to nurture their divine seed, then the whole community suffers and ends up declining into extinction. See, Allah created the laws and gave us the consciousness to choose between right and wrong, to act either through fearful awareness or in total disregard for His laws. We're either controlled by our lower nafs with His whims and desires, or the higher self, which is guided by the Spirit and its love of Allah and His Prophet. So back to our focus. The soul is programmed to succeed through purification. Failure is a result of corruption. And the key ayah here is, فَأَلْحَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Then He, Allah, inspired it with the knowledge of what is wicked, rebellious for it, and to have the fearful awareness of what is right for it. And did you know that Surah Al-Shams is recited in the second rak'ah of Eid Salah, for it deals with a human being's spiritual journey towards divinity in the quest for perfection. Let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who succeed by purifying their soul. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ.